back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Sheni, the 19th day of the month of Shvat. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Chaim Marcus of Congregation Israel in Springfield, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Marcus slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. The last time we had Rabbi Marcus on the program was way back in March. I believe Rabbi Marcus was the third call we did. And so we will conclude this call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Marcus to learn more about his wonderful community in Springfield. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Marcus.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav Naftali, and tremendous Yishkoach to you and the entire OU for this and all the amazing programs that the OU has brought to our community in these very difficult and trying times. Unfortunately, over the past 10 months, it really seems as if the Jewish people have lost so many of the Einei Ha'eda, so many of the eyes of our congregation, as the Talmud describes our great Torah leaders. From the Novominska Rebbe to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, from Rabbi David Feinstein to Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, it really seems that each week, unfortunately, we suffer another great loss as a nation. And unfortunately, yesterday might have been the worst. In the span of 24 hours, Rabbi David Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a great Briska Rosh Hashiva, son of the Briska Rav, first cousin of Rav Yosef Dov and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University, Rav Yitzchak Shiner Zatzal, great Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz in Yerushalayim, who was born and bred going to public school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the last of the great tzaddikim who left us yesterday was Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zechus Yagen Aleinu, also an individual who for decades lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was noted not only as a great scholar, as a great teacher of Torah, but also a psychiatrist of world renown. And it's really left us reeling. Personally, I feel tremendous, tremendous loss of these great tzaddikim. But I wanted to share with everyone today a conversation, a story that Rabbi Dr. Twersky actually shared with me one time when I drove him home when he was living in Muncie at the time from an event that he was at in New Jersey, and to share a teaching of his that I think can bring us chizuk and inspiration in these challenging times. My conversation with Rabbi Dr. Twersky in the hour-long car ride spanned many fascinating topics. But one time he pointed out to me, at one point in the conversation, he said, Rabbi Marcus, you should really go to AA meetings. He said that I've been going to them my whole life, and it's rarely a time that I don't come by inspired without learning a deep, valuable lesson from the people that I listen to at these meetings. And he shared a story that he's since published in one of his books, one of his many, many books, about a meeting he went to, and a woman got up, introduced herself, and she said that she was 35 years old. At age 12, she started drinking heavily. At age 15, she started drugging. And she hit rock bottom at age 26, alone, no one to care for her in the world, homeless, without anything. And here she was 9 years later in recovery. And she said at the end of her talk that I have to share one thing with you before I finish. She said that she was a rabid New York Jets fan. She was a rabid, rabid football fan. Her team was the Jets, a long-suffering Jets fan. And she said that it happened just a few weeks earlier, that she had gone away for an extended weekend, took Monday off from work, and she asked one of her coworkers to do her a favor and to tape the Jet game. For those that remember VCRs, the VHS, right, before DVDs, before digital, she was going away for a weekend somewhere where they weren't going to show the Jet game. She asked the coworker to do her a favor to tape the Jet game for her. And she said that she came into work Tuesday morning. She didn't look at the Daily News. She didn't look at the Post. She didn't listen to the sports radio. She didn't want to know who won the game. But her coworker, as he gave her the tape, said, "Oh, by the way, the Jets won." And she was so upset. She was so disappointed. Just ruined the whole experience for her. But anyway, she was, a diehard fan. She goes home that night after work to watch the Jets game. And she sees by halftime, the Jets are getting slaughtered. The Jets are getting demolished. They're down by 20 points in the first half. They can't even muster a first down. It's mamish like a churban. And she said, you know, reflecting, when it came to watching that game at halftime, if I was watching that game, she said, live, I would have literally and figuratively, I would have been hitting the fridge. I would have been pacing. I would have been tearing the hair out of my head, so anxious what's going to be. But when I was watching this game on video, it was all good. I was totally calm. You know why? Because although the Jets were getting beat badly in the middle of the game, I knew that in the end, it was going to be all good. I knew in the end that the Jets were going to win, so there was no reason to be worried. And she said, you know what? Now that I'm in recovery, ever since I turned my life over to God, I no longer get uptight when things don't go my way. She says, I may be 20 points behind at halftime, but I know that it's going to turn out okay in the end. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky said that I don't know what a grace of tzaddikus this woman is. I don't know how she looks her life. But one thing I can tell you, I'm jealous of her emuna. Her emuna, the knowledge that in the end, ultimately, we're in the hands of Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, who loves us so much. In the end, it's all going to be good. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes that although we know that the Gemara tells us in the Talmud, it says that a person is not going to be liable when they're suffering in this world for words of anger that they hurl towards the Almighty. But he says it's so important for each and every one of us, even though we might not be great Ba'alei Emuna, we might not have faith on the highest levels, but to try and constantly work on that faith. And after all, it's in this week's Parsha, Parshas Yisro, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Aseret HaDibros that the Rambam talks about, the Sefer HaChinuch talks about, that the mitzvah to believe in Hashem isn't just, I know there's Hashem, but constantly reminding ourselves that Hashem runs the world, that Hashem loves us, and that when we can try and constantly work on our emuna, it can bring us a little bit of simcha. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky points out that it's very, very easy to be able to live a life, even when a person might be suffering, be in distress, but to also have simcha. The fact that they seem to be contrary emotions, experiences, doesn't negate the fact that you can have them at the same time. As example, he said, it'd be like football, he said that imagine when you have the millions of people watching the Super Bowl, this Sunday, millions of people going to be watching the Super Bowl. How many of those people joining is going to be screaming when the team scores, get so excited and having such a geschmack of time, but yet maybe that there is distress in their life. But we see that a person can have these seemingly contrary emotions at the same time. But Rabbi Twersky said that think about if a person gets so excited of geschmack watching a football game, says, do we know what the geschmack is of lighting Shabbos candles? The geschmack of davening together with other Jews as we're about to do, the geschmack of learning Torah together that everyone is now doing. So he says it's so important that we focus on the good that we can do, to be able to generate a simcha, and from that simcha, from that joy, to try and be misboning, to try and reflect on the relationship with Hashem and how much Hashem loves us and can bring us close to Him. Then I want to end with something that Rabbi Twersky writes in a book that he published about 10 years ago when he turned 80 years old. And I'm sure many of you have seen, and if you haven't seen, you can go online and see, really an eerie sight. As Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky was being brought to Kever Yisrael, was being brought to his burial, the Chever Kaddisha, those that were carrying his body, were singing a song. They were singing a song that Rabbi Twersky himself composed decades ago before the chasenus of two of his brothers, of Hoshea Esamecha. Hoshea Esamecha, Uvarech Esnachlasecha. The song that so many of us sing every Simchas Torah, so often at Ongim and at joyous events, we sing this song. And Rabbi Kursky wrote that in his tzava that he didn't want any chesedim, he just wanted people to sing his niggin as they bring him to Kever. Why? He wrote in his book, when he turned 80, his book about Gevura, he said that I've composed the tune to Hoshea Esamecha, thereby adding to people's ability to have simcha. Countless people have danced to that tune. That's undeniable. I would like this one undeniable zechus to accompany to the world to come, to testify that I have brought some degree of simcha to the world. As Rabbi Twersky says, yes, we find ourselves in a time of great distress. It's a time of distress for the whole world. This anxiety, we're so disconnected in so many ways. Thank you to Naftali and all you for bringing us together. But as the Sefer Achinuch said in Parshas Bo, Achar Pulos Nimshochen Halavavos, in the great Hasidic tradition, to build our emunah, to build our simcha, what we have to do is we have to do actions of emunah and simcha. We have to smile, we have to sing, we have to dance, we have to talk to the Ribono Shalom, talk to Hashem. Like Hashem is that best of friends who loves us so much, who can help us. And the Ezra Hashem, we should all be Zocha Bekarov, to the day of Mach Hashem Dimon El Kalponin, that Hashem will lift us all up, that Hashem will let us all dance together, and that we can all join together celebrating in Yerushalayim without any socially distance, celebrating all together, holding hands, dancing, and singing together, B'mheirah V'yameinu, Amen V'Amen. We're now going to be saying Perek Chaf Gimel of Tehillim, Chapter 23. Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Roi Lo Echzor, Binos Deshe Yarbitzeini, Almei Menuchos Yinaleini, Nafshi Yishovev Yancheini, B'Maglei Tzedek L'man Shemo, Gam Ki Elech B'Gei Tzal Moves, Lo Iroro Ki Ato Yimodi, Shiftecho Mishantecho, Hei Mo Yinachamuni, Taruch Lufonai Shulcha Neged Toriroi, Ishanta Vashemin Ko Roshi Kosi Rivaya Ahtova Chesed Yizufuni Kol Yimei Chayai Yishavti Beveit Adonai L'Orech Yamin. Perekuf Chafalif, Chapter 121. Shir Lamalos Esoy Nayel Horim Meyayin Yovo Ezri Ezri Meyim Adonai Yosei Shamayim Voret Al yitain lamot raglecho, al yonum shamirecho, hinei lo yonum velo yishon, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shamrecho, adonai tzilucho, al yad yiminecho, yom ha-mashemesh lo yakecho, v'yoreach paloilo. Adonai yishmorcho mikol ro, yishmor et nashecho, adonai yishmor teitcho vowecho, mi'ata v'yadulom. Teraklamid, Chapter 130. Shir Hamalos Mimamakin Tirosicha Adonai Adonai Shimavikoli Kianos Mechakashuvos the Koltachnunoi Imavonos Bishmarya Adonai Miyamor Kiyimichasalicha Liman Kivare Ivisi Adonai kivison nafshi v'lidbaro cholpi nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim l'boker shomrim l'boker yachel Yisrael l'Adonai kiyim Adonai chesed v'arbe mofidos v'hu yifes Yisrael mikol avonosov Mishabei Rachav Oseinu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Yivarech Yirabe Esacholim. Bavur Shanach Mispalim Bavuram Bisharzeh Kodesh Baruch Hu Yimali Rachm Alayem Lach Limam Lach Lusam Lach Zikam Lach Yosam Yishlach Lahem Meir Fushalayim Menashamayim Lachol Iberim Lachol Yedem Bitzav Shor Chol Yisrael Refuas hanefesh rus haguf. Hashtav agolov zman kariv. And omar, amen. Acheinu kol beis Yisrael. Hanesunim b'tzaru v'shivyo. Hom din ben bayom oven b'yabasho. Amok mirachim aleyem. Yotiyem mitar l'orvacha. Mi'afel l'orav mishivu l'gula. Hashtav agolov zman kariv. And omar, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Marcus, as we transition into the next segment of our call. First and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Naftali. You know, as my grandmother used to say, Baruch Hashem, yom yom. And as she got into her late 90s, said, Baruch Hashem, rega, rega. We thank Hashem for every day. We thank Hashem for every moment. That's all we can do. Even as the snow is pounding us here in New Jersey. You remember the snow from the northeast, Rabbi Naftali? even as the snow is pounding us here in the northeast, Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu Matot Chalkeinu, we have heat, we have our lights on, we're good, Chastei Hashem. And the Kihila, Bli Ayin Har, we hope everyone's safe and healthy and doing okay.
Certainly happy to hear so, and I'm sure, even in the world of Zoom, that the kids who are home today are enjoying a snow day off. So as we jump in to our interview here, and for full disclosure to our listeners, Marcus and I have known each other for many, many years, over 20 years. So I have a little bit of insight into his wonderful community, but I'm going to give him the opportunity to share it with us. So to get us started, for our listeners who might not be familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the Shul, Congregation Israel, and the community of Springfield in general?
Sure. Baruch Hashem, our Kehila, Congregation Israel, is actually the only Orthodox Shul in town. So we're a little bit of a throwback, a community where you basically have one Shul. Something that's not so common. Remember, we had a scholar in residence from Eretz Yisrael who was presenting in our shul over Shabbos, and he commented to me at Kiddush. He said, Rabbi Marcus, you have something remarkable. You have like an out-of-town community, 35, 40 minutes from Midtown Manhattan. Baruch Hashem, it's a community where we really try to bring everyone together, a community based on growth in Torah, tefillah, and of course, chesed with one another. And Baruch Hashem, it's a nice small community nestled in the general central/northern Jersey area in between Elizabeth West Farms, not too far away from Newark, New Jersey, Newark Airport.
I can attest, as I've spent many, many Shabbosos and Yom Tovim with you in Springfield over the years, although it's been a number of years since, it truly is an amazing and wonderful community. So we spent time in yeshiva when you were a rebbe and we were at Yerushalayim and Beit Shemesh, and I was one of your talmidim and your shir many, many years ago, and we maintain a wonderful relationship since. We had a Masada Kedusha at my wedding, at Rishani and I, and we're very fortunate to have a wonderful and close relationship with you. But I think I know the answer to our next question, but what motivated, what propelled, what drove you to go into the rabbinate and specifically to become a pulpit rabbi?
So the truth is, Baruch Hashem, I was zochet to grow up in the home of a rav. My father was a rav and younger in Israel, Staten Island, for decades. And, you know, Naftali, we were in Eretz Yisrael together. We had a beautiful, beautiful time learning together in Eretz Yisrael. But there's something unique that you have as the Rav of a community that I felt was lacking as a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. And that's something as for my father and something my uncle, Rabbi Rafal Marcus, the Chetavik of Racha, was a Rav in Toronto also for many, many years, pointed out that as a Rav, you get to become a family member of the families in your Kehila. You grow together, not over a year, over maybe a year and a half or 2 years, but you're talking decades together. And as a person who just loves people, loves connecting with people, loves sharing ideas with people, that's really what motivated me to become a Rav of a Kehila. And Baruch Hashem is something that I treasure, something that I really value, the relationships that I have with the B'nai HaKehila, with the members of our Kehila.
Incredible. And your community and all those who come in contact with you are truly the recipients of a really incredible life choice and the impact that you've had on so many. Our last question for today, and as you began your remarks, it's been a very challenging and difficult year for everybody, to no exception. And there is light at the end of the tunnel as we look towards the future, as communities have been able to open more with the rollout of the vaccines, and please God, hopefully soon everyone will have an opportunity to have theirs and to get back to some semblance of normal, a new normal, whatever that will mean. But with all the change that our schools, our communities, our families have experienced over the past year, when you think about your school, what communal changes do you anticipate for your school and perhaps even more broadly for the Jewish community?
So that, Reb Naftali, is something that people have been discussing, I think, since the first month of this pandemic. You know, and there are many little things along the way that people have pointed out that, you know, maybe davenings and shul will become more meaningful with less time fillers and just focus more on tefillah. Maybe simchas will become simpler and more batant in a way of reflecting what was in the day and just having the closest loved ones together and really being the simcha. But I hope the greatest change will be what I think the greatest challenge for the Jewish people will be. We know that there's always the concept of a yirida l'tzorech aliyah, that sometimes we have to go down to go up. And we know that the greatest challenge of the Jewish people for unfortunately too long a time is that we don't connect to each other enough. We are not, unfortunately, I think, we don't display the Avas Yisrael. We don't feel it. It doesn't burn in us in a way that it should. You know, we say Birchas HaChodesh, you know, Misha Asa Nisim Lavosenu, Hi Galosanu, Bekarov, Me'avda Secheiros, Chazeirim Kol Yisrael. We talk about that all the Jewish, you know how we're going to leave Galus? Chazeirim Kol Yisrael, that we're all connected. And, you know, we've been so disjointed from one another. To every kehillah, you know, just yesterday I saw someone in my show that Pashat I haven't seen come out in 10 months. And it was just so good to see him. And we had such a nice shmooze. And he said, Rav, you know, I'm sorry why I haven't been on show. You know, parents, you know, compromised, trying to take care of them. And I get it. But when we're able to be back together, to be able to give a big hug, to be able to feel that kesher nafshi, that deep, deep soul connection that we all have with one another. You know, that's what Esther said is the secret to Jewish redemption. Lech kenotis kol ha'yudim, go gather all the Jews. So I hope the biggest change that can happen is that we'll be able to recognize that this nefuzer mafura, this brokenness, this disjointedness that we've experienced should just be a yerida, a down, l'tzorech aliyah, to get us to spring back to becoming one. And look, Naftali, you're such a big part of it, bringing hundreds of people from all over the world together, to daven together, to learn together. This program itself is an expression of lech kenotis kol ha'yehudim. Rabbi Naftali, go gather all the Jews together. And this is just one little way that you're doing it, but it's a very big thing. And halavai, halavai, we should continue to have initiatives to bring Kol Yisrael together in the micro level now with Kehila, but really in the whole world to bring everyone together. That's what I hope for. That's what I anticipate.
Amen. We certainly hope so. Rabbi Marcus, thank you so much for being on the call today and providing us with a picture of your incredible community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabbon Ishat Olam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Avram Schmidman of the Lower Merion Synagogue in Lower Merion Township, Pennsylvania. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.